And I appreciate our overseer coming, being with us today. I consider him my boss and my friend. And I thank him for the privilege of allowing me to come here and be your pastor. God bless you.
God bless you. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. 40 years. That speaks well of the faithfulness of God to his congregation. And it speaks a lot about you also. You notice in this video, in the photo collage, I was watching that, and I saw two things that jumped out at me. Number one, I saw the church being the church. A lot of ministry going on, a lot of things happening. That's what the church is, should be about. It's outside of here. Second thing I saw, about 80% of it, eating in fellowship. Amen. So I know my assignment today. We're here to celebrate 40 years, but there's a bunch of food back yonder. Amen. And I was talking to Yogi for church, and I said, Yogi, how long do you want me to speak? He said, well, you can speak as long as you want to. The rest of us leaving at 12 o'clock. Amen. So I'm going to be very aware of that. I'm going to be on time with that, and appreciate Yogi keeping me on target today. Amen. He didn't say that. Probably thought it, but he didn't say that. I like to pick a Yogi and Yogiette and all the yogis around here. Amen. But it's good to be with you today. Pastor, thank you for letting me come. We didn't know I'd be back on this big 40th celebration during the transition when Brother Barnes decided he wanted to go sit on the porch and watch the Braves and drink cocoa and hang it up. And we went through the process of securing a pastor. Every time I got in my car, it started heading down 65 this way. Amen. I made so many trips down here, I could almost do it blindfolded. But I'm glad that Pastor Stroop and his wife are here for this 40th celebration. Lead you to the next level where all the foundation's been laid from all of these great men. Got a letter I want to read quick. Don't get nervous. I'm not long-winded, and I don't expect God to heal me today. Amen. And to this congregation, the Pastor Ken Stroop and Alabaster congregation, congratulations on 40th anniversary celebration of the Alabaster Church of God. We celebrate your dedication and devotion to the spirit of excellence, growth, and faithfulness. I commend the founders of the church for the exceptional leadership. I also recognize the membership of the church for your unwavering commitments to be servants of God. Your Christian discipleship has earned you recognition as a church of service, of worship, and welcome and fellowship. Pastor Stroop, I applaud you as pastor of the Alabaster Church of God for your loyalty and commitment. Your leadership has made a difference, and your contribution will be remembered long after the hard work is forgotten. I challenge you to care more, risk more, dream more as you advance towards the destiny God has ordained for you and your family at this time. Debbie and I count it a privilege to be with you for this 40th anniversary celebration, and pray that you will continue to move forward for the kingdom of God. Blessings, churches of God in Alabama. Pastor Stroop, would you come, please? And I'd like for church, it takes somebody with the vision, the people around, to put on something like this. We've honored all these pastors, all the folks up here. But today, I think it would be fitting if the congregation, if you would stand, please, and let Brother Stroop know that we love him and appreciate him. And thank you very much for your leadership. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Come on. Give him praise in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Yogi Timey, I got 20 minutes according to your talk. Amen. It's good to have my wife with me today, Miss Debbie. And we've been together. I was adding it up. It's 14,795 days, I think. That's how long we've been married. Amen. That's 41 years plus. Praise God. And it's good to have my wife. She travels everywhere with me and I go. We are a ministry team. You see one, you see the other. And it's good to have her here today. And it's so good to see the retired ministers here. Thank you, Brother Stroop, for inviting them back. And even though Brother Lorenzi couldn't make it, I remember back when Y2K was coming. Do y'all remember that? And everything was going to fall apart. The world was going to end. And I told my wife, she said, what do you think we'll do for Y2K? I said, let's get somewhere down around Birmingham, Alabaster, because if they all the things shut down, Dave Lorenz will have a truck full of food out there. Amen. So I remember that just clear as a bell somewhere's in there. I said, we'll eat something in there. Praise God. He'll have Operation Compassion truck down there or something. Praise God. Let's get around that area. But I hate Dave couldn't be here. He's a good friend of mine. And Brother Hale gone on to his reward. And I think Brother Prince, and there was a couple others, and Brother Miller, Brother Barnes. Appreciate these gentlemen. He told me he is at SIPSI, and I didn't realize you was at SIPSI. It's open again if you want to go back. Amen. So I'll put you back in the game if you want it. Praise the Lord. And I appreciate these retired ministers. Also, I saw another one of my retired ministers somewhere over here a while ago. I think I missed him now. And Brother Barnes, appreciate you. He works with us on the ministerial development. And Brother Melvin, Sister Annette, they're special because they had to put up with me and Sister Debbie for 2 years. We were part of the Dream Team in Alabama back in the day. I don't know what our team's called today that I'm here, but back then, Brother Pemberton was the overseer, Brother Massey was the evangelism director, and I was the youth director, and we were sort of the Dream Team. Amen. And Brother Melvin and Sister Annette and good friends, appreciate them. And I was watching those pictures, Annette. You like the Lord. You changed not. You hadn't changed a lick in all those years. Amen. You're still the same, like the Lord. So it's good to be here today. I want to speak to you today. When you come to a service like this, there's a lot of messages that a man could preach. But it got in my spirit today that 40 years tells me that probably there were some tough times, probably some difficult times, probably some times where you didn't know if you was going to make it or not, probably some times where that song was so fitting that you might have lost your hope, might have lost your way, might have lost your joy. But we never lost our praise. When I begin to think about this church and this day in 40 years, then begin to think about you, because the church is you. And when I begin to think about you, I begin to think about the day that we live in. And we're living in the last days, church. Amen. And we need God more than we ever needed him in our life. We're in a spiritual warfare. The time, the end, is very near. But until the Lord comes, I want to talk to somebody today to help you get yourself up where you need to be, and that this church can go to where it needs to be, because God is not through with you yet. Amen. And somebody in here has been in a storm. You've been in a trial. You have probably lost your faith. You probably lost your hope. And on this special day that we come to celebrate, I want to speak a word of God to just an individual. Don't know who you are in this house, but you showed up on this day, and the Lord put a word in my heart to give to you that everything's going to be all right. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what some of the issues that you have to deal with, but the Lord has sent me by today to tell you, church and child of God, that whatever you're facing, that whatever you're going through, whatever storm that you may be in, whatever struggle you may be wrestling with right now, that everything's going to be all right, because God is still in control. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Take the top off this water for him, boy. I'm getting ready to drink some water. Amen. You got a scripture you can throw up there, that turn in Acts chapter 27. Verse 18, thank you, sir. I'm going to read several of those. Then I want somebody to get out a piece of paper and a pencil, because I'm fixing to give you some scripture that's going to help you through this trial that you're going in. Brother Massey, I don't know who it is, but I've got such a burden for this service this morning and such an anointing for this service today, because somebody today, God is fixing to take you, and he's going to help you release that storm that you're in and that struggle that you're in, and going to give you that joy and that peace and that hope today. If you read verse 18 quickly with me. And we've been exceedingly tossed with the storm. The next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Verse 20, and when neither the sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small storm lay on us, All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Did you notice that word in there? Two words, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I need somebody in this congregation to circle that word, all hope, or those words, all hope. You need to put a circle around those, because the enemy has been fooling with your mind and telling you that hope is gone, that God is going to, you think that the enemy has got the upper hand. But I sent by to tell you that God said today, child of God, where it seemed that all hope has gone, he's going to restore that hope in you today, and he's going to give you that victory that you need on this 40th celebration day. Amen. Lord, I got to go on. I'm telling you, clap when you want to, do what you want to. I done got myself worked up here. Amen. In verse 21, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, you shall have hearkened unto me, and not have loose, and to gain this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. I'm telling somebody today, be of good cheer. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Go back to verse 20. No small storm lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The part of my message I want to get to you today in this short time that we have left together in this setting today is that there'll be times of storms, and there'll be times of tribulation, there'll be times of trouble, there'll be times of heartache, there'll be times that you do not have the question, the answers for the questions that God has put there in this storm that you're in. But I want you to know one thing, never lose sight of the fact that God has still got everything under control and that you're one of his children. I remember the most difficult storm I'd been in my life. I can't go into all the detail. I'd have me back to preach page 2 sometimes. But Brother Barnes, I was going through one of the most difficult times of my life. It seemed like the heavens were brassed over. It seemed like that everything I was trying to do was falling around me and nothing was working. My wife got sick on me and nearly died on me. And I never will forget, I got to that place, John, and I looked up and I said, God, where are you when I need you the most in my life? And there's somebody here today in the middle of your storm. You see, what I got to the place where I got mad. None of you do that. But I got mad. Yogi, I got aggravated at God. I remember I looked at him and I said, God, where are you when I need you the most in my life? Everybody else can feel your presence. Everybody else can hear the voice of God. Everybody else can get an answer from you. But where are you, God, when I need you the most in my life? And I remember I was sitting there in my automobile, and all of a sudden it seemed like God was a million miles away, and the Lord all of a sudden began to speak to me in my heart. And he told me, said, my child, you're not by yourself. I've got things under control. You may think you don't know what the closure is going to be, but I still have things right where I need them to be for you in your life. Then something happened, Brother Coker. All of a sudden, the Lord began to show me scriptures again. I want you to write these down, because I've got to read them and give them to you and move on. I'll have time for you to look at every one of them. But all of a sudden, the Lord began to deal with me to let me know that it was going to be all right. First thing he did was in 2 Kings 2:14, Elisha said, where is the Lord God of Elisha? Then David in Psalms 10:1 said, Lord, why do you hide thyself and stand so far off and hidest thy face in the time of trouble? Then in Psalms 13:1, Lord, why art thou God that hidest thy face when I need you? Then Job 23:3, oh, that I knew where to find God. Then Isaiah 45:12, verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself. Then he brought me to Acts chapter 27 and verse 18. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. But I want you to know what happened to me in this crisis I'm in, and the crisis and storm that you're in today, whoever you are and whatever you're facing in this building. As we get ready to move towards the next 40 years for this church has got to have you, and you can't carry that place you need to be unless you get that strength of God back in your life and get some of these issues behind you that you've been dealing with so that God can use you for his glory and for his honor. And I remember when I got to that scripture, all of a sudden the Lord said, there's some things you got to do, John Childers, and said, just like that Apostle Paul did. You know what he did? Number one thing he did, do you know, can you see what that scripture said and tells us? He was what? He was in the middle of a storm. He was in the middle of trouble. He was in the middle of about to lose everything he had. And Paul did this during that time of storm. What did he do? You see, he didn't do it when the sun was shining. He didn't do it when everybody was patting him on the back. Didn't do it when he had 100% vote as everybody loved him as pastor. He didn't do it when he had $100 bills lying in his pocket. Paul did this when everything was turned upside down. Are you a child of God enough to serve God when everything's turned upside down in your life? Paul did this when the wind was blowing. He did this when water was coming on board the boat. He did this when lightning was crackling. He did this when thunder was rolling. He did this when he said all hope was gone that we should be saved. He did this at the darkest hour where everything was lost. And you know what he did? The first thing he did was he stood up and he announced his assurance in God that everything was going to be all right. Hallelujah. Woo! I wish I could sing right now. If I could sing right now, I'd sing, whoa. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right, whoa, 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 amen. Hallelujah. That's how we sing in the church of God. We whoa, 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 amen. I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. I wish I could sing again. If I could sing again, I'd sing, whoa. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that flows from Emmanuel's veins. The Lord has sent me by to tell somebody today on this special day that, oh, there's still power in the blood of Jesus. There's still healing in the blood of Jesus. There's still hope in the blood of Jesus. There's still an answer in the blood of Jesus. There's still a place in the blood of Jesus. God has still got everything under control. Don't you worry about what this world is saying and how it's rocking and rolling, but God has still got everything under control today. Woo! Good Lord, hallelujah. Ah, boy, I can't sing, but wished I could. And see, Paul stood up, and somebody said, what is assurance? I said, Brother John, what is assurance? Tell us. Help me today. What is assurance? And I'll tell you what it is. It's Jacob in Genesis 28 and 15. Write this down. And God said, I am with you. I will go with thee into all places whither thou goest. And I not leave thee until I've done all which I have promised you. What has he promised you? I believe he said he'd never leave you, he'd never forsake you, he'd never cast you down, but that he'd be there all the way, even unto the end of the world. Pastor, I don't know who's in the middle of the battle today, but you need to understand that God has not forsaken you. God has not cast you down. God has not abandoned you, but God is still there with you. And even though it may seem like the heavens are brassed over, and even though it may seem like he's a million miles away from you, God is still God, and God will be there, and God knows you, and God loves you, and God cares for you, and God will touch you. Yes. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what is assurance? Exodus 33:14. God said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Don't know who I'm talking to on this special day of this crowd, but somebody in here has stressed yourself out so far you can't fly that machine much longer the way you are. Have you heard the old saying, we're flying this airplane at 500 miles an hour and it's only designed to go at 300 miles an hour? Amen. I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you're facing in this time, but the Lord asked me to tell you today, do you trust him? Do you believe in him? If you do, you need to take a step back and breathe the sweet holy presence of the Holy Ghost of God and let him give you a peace of God that passes all understanding today. Somebody said, well, what is assurance, Brother Childers? I tell you what it is. It's Job 13 and 15. He said, though God slay me, yet will I serve him. And he states that my Redeemer liveth, and that in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth. And though after the skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God for myself, and mine eyes shall behold him. I've got to tell somebody today, if your Redeemer lives. I don't know about your God, but my God lives. Amen. I don't know about your Redeemer, but my Redeemer lives. He died on that cross of Calvary. And if your Redeemer lives today, the children can drive you crazy. The husband can drive you crazy. The wife can drive you crazy. Everybody else around you can drive you crazy. It may seem like that you don't know what in the world is going on, but if your Redeemer liveth, the one that died on the cross of Calvary, he can pick you up. He can put you on the place you need to be and take you where you need to go. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. So praise God. Somebody said, what is assurance? Psalms 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and salvation, of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Though the mountains crumble and falleth into the sea thereof, I not worry, because the Lord is my strength. I not be afraid, because the Lord is my shelter. You see, folks, I need to tell you something. We're living in tough days today. The church is in a different day today. Being a pastor and a minister is a tough job today. It's a different world that we live in today than we did back when June Cleaver and Leave It to Beaver was alive. It's a different day out there now, but I've got good news for you. That just makes it that much more that the power and the word of God and the miracle of God can sustain you and do for you what you need done in your life. And this, he's the same God. I believe he said, I change not. Amen. I don't know what's wrong with us nowadays, but we get all nervous in the service. We worry about things all over the world and around us. We're in what we call a recession and depression. And I asked my wife, I said, what those folks talking about up there? They talking about recession. They talking about depression. They talking about it being bad. She said, well, what it means is you don't have any money. I said, Lord God, I've been in a recession 41 years and didn't even know it. Amen. I've never had any money. I've been broke ever since. I'm born on the mill village in Anderson, South Carolina. But I've done pretty good. Amen. God has always, always provided our needs. He's never left me, hung me out to dry. I haven't missed many meals. And looking at some of you, y'all doing pretty good too, amen. But God, if it's recession, depression, you got to learn to trust in God. We got things happening all over the world. We got a little fella in North Korea about 4'10", threatening to blow the world up with nuclear weapons over there. I can't worry about that cat. We got another guy over here in Iran. He's about 4'10". I don't know what it is, these short guys wanting to blow the world up. He's about 4'10". His name is Jackie John or what? Aminajon or some kind of John. I don't know what his name is. I don't need to know. I'm not the president of the United States. I'm the overseer of Alabama. Amen. But anyway, he's over Iran. He's threatening to blow the world upside down. We've got things over here. We got in Iraq. Don't know how to get out. We in this other place, Afghanistan. Don't know how to get out. What I'm trying to tell you, Brother Dennis, is this. We didn't slip up on God all of a sudden in 2011. That seemed like the world was turned upside down. God got everything under control. He's got you right where you belong. He's got us right where we need to be. It's all in the time frame of God, and everything's going to be all right. Amen. Amen. That's right. Gas going up nearly $5 a gallon. Lord God in heaven, help us. I remember when we used to have gas rationing. Do any of y'all remember that? I know some of these people down here not shaving don't, but anyway, young people don't. But I remember when we used to have gas rations. You'd go get in line and you'd get up there, and they'd give you $2, $3, they'd give you whatever they're going to give you of gas. I watch folks get up there and the gas be gone, fist fights break out, amen. Probably the church got people in there too, amen. And I'm just carrying on like crazy, you know, go crazy. And see, we get to worrying about what are we going to do in all this. And some of you have got situations that you've been trying to control, but the Lord has sent me by in closing just a minute to tell you that if you'll release your situation and put it in the hand of sovereign God, that he would take care of your situation and you wouldn't have to worry and fret over it anymore, that he is able to take care of your situation. Oh, Lord, I wish I had time to preach this. God in heaven, help me. I wish I had time to preach. I know we do, but we got chicken getting cold out yonder. Amen. And you see, in all this stuff, and sometimes you think God has forgotten you. God has not forgotten you.
Amen.
My wife's a prime example. 3 years ago, this September, we were in Ohio. I'm going to stop and tell you this story before I finish preaching, just to show you how sometimes we and our little bit of faith in trying to control stuff sometimes nearly mess up what God's trying to do in the big picture for us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I'm going to get over here where it's a little bit better feeling over here. Amen. We're all human. We was up in Ohio when we was in Ohio. Love those people up there. I'm a southern boy. I never saw 134 inches of snow in 1 year of my life till I moved up there. We was up there, but all of a sudden, family, her daddy or mama, had to put them in a nursing home. Tough. 13 hours away. Bad. We couldn't understand why we was having to do that. We were in a crisis. We were in a storm. And I'll never forget we was doing that. And what happened was her dad's mind wasn't hitting on all eight, but his body was strong as an ox. Melville, her mind was clear as a bell, but her body failed her. They couldn't take care of each other, and we had to put them over there and take care of them. You know, getting home, they didn't like it. And I remember we was up there, and we were coming down for a meeting back and forth, 13 hours and 20 minutes, right outside of Cullman, Alabama, a little old place up there, Hartsel. And I remember when we got up there, we was getting ready to go visit Miss Melville. They had to take her to the hospital. They called and said, she died. And there my wife said, she's what? She died? Because we didn't expect her to die. And I'll never forget, that was a tough time. We got to praying because I left her dad and her brother. Put her dad in another nursing home, had to move him around. And he got ugly with things in his life coming back and forth. All of a sudden, almost a year later, maybe less than a year later, her brother died. We thought, Lord, he'd been sick, but we didn't know this was going to happen. I left her and her dad, and here we were struggling, and we were in a big crisis in our family life. None of you have never had to face stuff like this. It's called life, people. It's called life. Doesn't mean that God doesn't love. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care for us. It's called life. And I remember we were in that, and we were coming down here, and it was May of 08. I just bought a big old Denali because gas was $1.55 a gallon. All of a sudden, the whole world went lunatic crazy, and they went up to almost $4.80 a gallon. And I was having to haul a Phillips 66 station behind me with that Denali just to keep me on the road. Amen. And I told my wife, I said, either you crazy, a man of faith, or they gave this thing to you. Which one is it? Amen. And I remember I was coming down here, and I just filled up. It was over $100. We got to where her dad was at, and they threw him out of a hospital. At the nursing home, put him in a hospital. I got my reason why. All of a sudden, we had 30 days to try to find a place for him. We were all in turmoil, and we were saying, God, what is going on, God? We don't understand. Why have you left us like this, God? Why are you doing this to us, Lord? And I remember on that trip, we both got frustrated. We both got very angry. I got angry at God again because I said, God, look at me, Lord. I'm serving you. I'm doing you. You know, God knew what I was doing. Why did I have to go through all that? God knew what we were facing. Why did we have to go through all that? And I remember we were coming back from that little old Jasper, Alabama. They moved him down to Jasper, 45 minutes further away. I remember we was coming back through some country road. I couldn't tell you today the name of that country road we was on, but I was mad and I was frustrated and I had that big Denali and I was speeding. Hope there's not highway patrol people in here. I was speeding and I was going through that back road, man, just going like crazy, and my wife was over reading her Daily Bread devotion, and all of a sudden, you know, I saw up ahead a little country store. You know what I'm talking about? One that carried a sale of hoop cheese and Coca-Colas and Sun Drops and get your oil change, your haircut there, Blockbuster Video, hoop cheese, cracker, everything out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, just everything out there. I looked up, man, I just paid almost $5 a gallon gas. I was going up through there and I had my Dale Earnhardt Jr. impression on, man. I was just boom, zooming up through there, and all of a sudden I looked up and I saw a big old sign, Melvin. It said $2.42. I slammed on brakes. I fishtailed that car, threw my wife down in the floorboard, seatbelt up under her neck. Daily devotion went this way. We was all over the place. I turned around and went back, parked that big old Denali, went in like I was a millionaire, gonna fill that thing up. I got to the door and grabbed hold of it, and it had been closed for 6 months. And I said, my God, killing myself over $2.43 gas. We got in the car. My wife said, you know, we're crazy, aren't we? She said, you know what we need to do? We need to quit all this, need to quit worrying about it. Let's make an agreement that we're gonna give daddy to God. We can't do anything about it. God knows we're in Ohio. God knows daddy's in Alabama. There's not much we can do. Let's just give daddy to God and see what the Lord would do. We joined together. We agreed on it. Went back to Ohio. Other things started happening. But the part I'm going to tell you is this. When we went to the General Assembly, we were in there, and we were supposed to go back to Ohio again. We were ready to go back to Ohio again. But the powers that be in the middle of the night called me at about 10 minutes to 3 on a Friday morning. Woke me up out of a dead sleep. One of them said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sleeping. What are you doing? They said, we over here trying to figure this out. I said, trying to figure what out? Said, we got to make some moves around. And said, we want to know. We're going to go ahead and move you if that's okay. Okay with you. I said, well, sure. I said, God said, are you ready? I said, yeah. I said, where are you moving me to? He said, if you'll take it, said, I want you to go to Alabama. I said, hold on just a minute, please. I put the phone down. I went, glory to God, hallelujah. I shouted all over that place because, you see, God had just opened up a miracle that we had been praying for. I said, yes, sir, I believe I'll handle it. Send me on down there. What I'm telling you is we gave up. We couldn't see. We didn't understand. But the whole time, when you
you stop and look at it, God was moving Donald around where the, when it ended up, we were 40 minutes away in the time frame of God in God's hand. I'm telling somebody in the house today, you quit it. You get ready to release it and give it to God, because God is already moving pieces around that you don't even know about or see about that he's going to take care of for you. Amen. Woo, glory. I wish somebody praise God in the house. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Get over here, start playing. I got to shut up and quit. Amen. I'm not done. And on these days like this, man, I tell you, it's hard for a man to pull it in. But you see, God has got everything under control. Somebody said, I don't know about God. I don't know about this storm I'm in. Are you ready to release it? Are you ready to get yourself out of the way? See, another in here, Romans 8:31, said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Then down in Romans 8:33, 34, 35, said, what shall separate us from the love of God? Shall persecution, distress, famine, death, height, principality, creatures, things present, things to come? Nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I didn't get to preach this message the way I wanted to because these special days, I love them. But the Lord is checking me. I want you to stand one, please. Stand. There's three things. I didn't even get to preach them. Child of God, sometimes when everything's turned upside down, you have to do what? Number one, you have to stand in the assurance of God that he's got everything under control. Number two, you got to function by faith. You know what faith is? Faith is when you as a child of God reach up and you grab hold of nothing and you hold on to God comes along and turns it into something. And what's the third thing is? You got to act like you know something. What do we know? I believe I know that it said heaven and earth shall pass away, but this word shall stand through eternity. Now I want to know today, the church family, are you ready to give up that storm, that struggle? Are you ready for the Lord to bring you that peace and that answer?